Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Welcome again to Circles of Change. Thanks for being with us here, folks. And it's a real pleasure to have Jamie and Marin Shokir on the line, based out of the Phoenix, Arizona area. Good morning, Jamie and Marin.
Good morning, Zara.
Good morning, Zara.
Terrific. Let me introduce our guests. They're seasoned organizational development consultants from Henning, Shokir & Associates, based out of Phoenix. They're also authors of the critically acclaimed business book, Authentic Conversations, Moving from Manipulation to Truth and Commitment. In fact, this first book we have featured twice on our show before. It really challenges conventional wisdom on the key workforce practices, plus presents some real concrete ways to concisely make our ordinary conversations really the primary driver of workforce change. Jamie and Marin work with clients around the world to focus on how ordinary conversations truly can lead to employees that are engaged and energized to become personally accountable for really the greater good. Jamie earned a B.S. in education from Miami University, where he was a scholarship athlete. He's also had a master's in educational leadership from the Eastern Michigan University. His consulting clients span global commercial companies to institutions in higher education in the midst of dynamic change. Marin earned the B.A. of degree in journalism from Arizona State University and also a master's in human and organizational development at Fielding Graduate University. Her career journey, in addition to consulting now, includes 25 years in newspaper journalism as a reporter and editor, plus extensive assignments as a prestigious Knight Fellow in Latin America. But our topic today is going to be their second book, Yoga Wisdom at Work, Finding Sanity Off the Mat and on the Job. Marin and Jamie really take the precepts of a lifestyle, not just a traditionally thought of form of personal exercise, now into the workplace setting. And being yoga practitioners themselves, and also Marin, a recognized instructor, the Shokirs demonstrate again their passion for lifelong learning and stimulating thinking as consultants, writers, and really teaching applicable to people all around the world. Well, let me start out by saying this idea of finding sanity off the mat and on the job. I don't know that finding sanity on the job is ever a common occurrence many of this day and age, isn't it? I mean, that's almost an oxymoron. Jamie, your comment to that.
Well, I think that is probably true, and that's some of what we hope this book aims to add to the conversation, at mm-hmm. least, of becoming more sane. I think it is an insane world out there in some cases, and command and control is alive and well, and so we're in the process here with this book of trying to bring some precepts, principles, and practices into the workplace that can create more personal sanity regardless of the larger organizational change.
Well put. Marin, of course, you've done yoga for many, many years, and now I've enjoyed the opportunity of helping others with that practice. Do you think it was always a thought in mind that you would be able to intersect your being a yogi with actually a business book targeted at this point in time?
That's a great question. Actually, not at all. For many years, I practiced the physical yoga, the postures on a mat, without even realizing that there was this amazing, rich philosophy called the eight limbs of yoga. And once I underwent my teacher training, I started realizing how much more there was to be practiced mm-hmm. in the tradition of yoga. It's surprising how many people, there's like something like 20 million people who practice yoga in the U.S. I suspect a lot of them don't know about the foundational principles, and they have huge potential for self-transformation and filtered through the lens of work, huge potential for making work more satisfying and meaningful.
So Jamie, maybe back us up. How did you two come to write this book then?
Serendipity.
As always, that happened the best kind.
Right. Marin and I met in 2005, and she was looking for a career change, and had come back to Phoenix and started her yoga teacher training, and we talked back and forth about the possibility of her joining the business, which ultimately happened, and she got me into yoga at the same time that she was exploring the teacher aspect after many years of practice, and I've been a meditator for a long time but didn't have an on-the-mat practice. And we used to have these great conversations when she'd come home from teacher training, and how connected that was to what we were already doing in our business, which has its roots in some of Viktor Frankl's work and that sort of thing. So there was a natural merger between, if you will, the ancient principles of yoga and Frankl's work and the work that we were doing as a consulting business.
But it's one step to recognize that and kind of let it be your total lifestyle, your holistic approach to your 9-to-5 life and find a 5-to-9 life, I'll say. But then, Marin, the chance of actually stepping in to write the book, particularly because I think it's a one of a kind, that there aren't many people that would understand the idea or even suppose that there would be a connection between applying yoga wisdom in the working world. So was it?
Yeah, well, we had to look to write a second book. And about the same time, I started doing some continuing teacher education training with our teacher, Mary Bruce. And it was during that period that this germ of an idea started blossoming in my head. Mm. Honestly, the first time I thought about it, I was like, well, that probably won't work because there's probably lots of books out there like this already. And as we researched it, we were stunned to discover that this book had not been written, and we thought it's a perfect sort of melding of our workplace expertise, which we've been doing, and Jamie's been doing for a long time, and I have as well, and this idea that if people could practice their yoga off the mat in the workplace, you know, they could accrue amazing benefits personally, and it would also begin to change the work environment if people are really committed to practicing the full 8 limbs of yoga.
Well, in fact, Jamie, perhaps you can comment on the woman that wrote the introduction, the foreword for your book. Is she basically has a business, an athletic apparel company that she describes as being yoga inspired. So let's even go to the
Absolutely.
Next higher level, right?
Yes, ma'am. Christine Day is her name. She's the CEO of Lululemon. Anybody who practices yoga on the mat knows that company, as well as cyclists and runners, because they make a wide range of apparel for those kinds of endeavors, exercise endeavors. And she is a practicing yogi and has brought those philosophies, if you will, to Lululemon in terms of the way they run and operate their business. So while these ideas, Patagonia is another example of a company that uses many of the principles and precepts of yoga in the way they've created the organization, managing and structuring of their business. So there are people out there that are doing this, and yet at the same time, it's a practice that when you think about yoga in the workplace, still seems a little antithetical or oxymoronish or something.
Well, or even this thought that, oh, you mean at my lunch break, we're all going to get our mats out and now meditate and do stretching, which we probably should do as well, but this is a even bigger context. So, Marin, you might comment, though, of course, this is not a book that necessarily you have to be a practitioner of yoga, though, to understand the power of the messages.
Yes, and that's a point we really want to emphasize, because it's entirely possible to practice yoga even if you've never stepped your foot on a mat or tried to do a downward dog. And in fact, there are a lot of people in the workplace and in the world practicing yoga who may not even be aware that they are, in the sense that these philosophical precepts, They include a moral code. They include a guide for personal development and self-transformation and self-awareness. They include meditation. And some companies have been incorporating the physical practice and meditation practices into their workplace, like Google and Apple and General Mills and Oprah Winfrey does meditation at work, but I don't think that they always know about this other wisdom that is available to them if they just do a little investigating. So we're hoping this will resonate with those kinds of folks.
Great. Well, again, we're speaking with Jamie and Marin Shokir, and their new book is called Yoga Wisdom at Work, Finding Sanity Off the Mat and on the Job. Jamie, perhaps you can give us just a brief overview. You made reference, and Marin did, to the 8 limbs of yoga. Perhaps you can share some of those, what they are, so people can kind of connect with this topic.
Sure. I'd be happy to do that. The first limb is basically, the limb is called the yamas, and it makes up a set of precepts, if you will, that define how one relates to the world, to their environment. Things like nonviolence, truth-telling, mm-hmm. Non-stealing, non-hoarding, and non-greed. The second limb are the niyamas, and those are more oriented towards personal conduct. One is about purity. Another one is about contentment and surrender, ways that I practice within myself to live out the moral codes. The third limb is the asanas, and those are the one, that's the limb that most people are familiar with, because that's the physical practice of yoga. And the next limb is pranayama. Some people are familiar with that because it's about breath control and about the ability to manage your breath, particularly when you're under stress.
Which, of course, in the workplace is always important. Boy, if you're walking to a contentious meeting, right, Maren, to slow your body down and take a few deep breaths before you walk in, it's amazing what a different place you're in, isn't it?
It is a wonderful practice in terms of relieving stress, but it also is a way that you can increase your energy when you're flagging mm-hmm. in the afternoon, for instance, and instead of taking that third cup of coffee, you can just practice some breath control and re-energize yourself. And it's also a way to create space for more mindful conversations. We tell a story in the book about a man who, before he answers any question, he takes a deep inhale and exhale. And doing that gives him a moment to sort of reflect and really listen to what has been said and respond mindfully.
Yeah, that's a great practice. And another story, Maren, you might want to mention a couple others that would demonstrate some of these. For example, the use, how we can leverage this for one of the limbs called focus.
We have, one of the things I love about this book is we have all kinds of stories from practitioners who understand the eight limbs of yoga and have found ways to integrate the principles into their work days. One of the ones that's most dramatic is a police officer who was actually chasing a suspect and in a shootout. And she talks about how she saw her mind running away from her. She couldn't focus. And then her gun jammed, and she was starting to panic. So she just took a few seconds to duck behind a wall and take some breaths and get a hold of her focus in her mind again and fix her gun, and then she was able to return to the action and eventually got the suspect.
Wow, that's a powerful demonstration. So we had talked about the first of the series of limbs, the yamas, the niyamas, posture, breath control. I think there was another one. Jamie, maybe continue this limb number five, to sense withdrawal. What do you mean by that?
Right, it's pratyahara is a Sanskrit word for that, and which is the name of the limb, and the withdrawing of the senses is a practice related to meditation, if you will, and related to relaxation, whereby you sit quietly either on a mat or in a chair or at your desk if you choose to, and spend anywhere from 30 seconds to a couple of minutes, depending on your choice, focusing inward and not focusing on things that are going on around you, the noises that you might hear and the distractions that appear just in everyday life. And it's training your mind to become more mindful, if you will, so that you can go to that more quiet spot when things are tense. And I truly believe that if people had the ability today to go towards that quiet spot when things are intense, we could solve many of the problems we have in business and many of the problems we have in society. Frankly, it's about being mindful and thoughtful.
I have this hunch that there's now going to be a third book that's going to come out here, and it's going to be Yoga Wisdom and Authentic Conversations at Work. In other words, the blending, because I hear behind your words, of course, or even within, you can't really tease it out, your first book about authentic conversations and how we really openly and authentically trust one another and can open up in new ways, and then coupling it with these areas of, you know, a lot of this is self-management, right, Maren? That we're talking about how we can bring those, that even more powerfully into those authentic conversations.
Yes, you're absolutely right. And in fact, a lot of people have said to us, boy, those seem like radically different books. You know, you've gone from a business authentic conversations book to this yoga book. But they're actually so compatible and so related. As Jamie said, you know, we talked about this continually when I was undergoing the first teacher training. And yoga is nothing more than it, at least for me in my practice, yoga is something that keeps me connected to something larger than myself, which if you think about work, it's exactly the same thing. As an individual, I'm a contributor to something larger than myself. And so it's important for me to set aside my own ego, my own selfish desires, and manage myself in a way where I'm making an authentic contribution and not getting attached to all the outcomes, but just doing my very best at work.
Well, I would also say, though, this, when you're in that space, if you can indeed personify those yoga practices of keeping me connected with something larger, that if you do and find that or cultivate it at work, that tells you also that you really are in a best fit situation. So maybe that would be one question, Jamie. Do you think people are going to read your book and on top of other self-reflections or career coaching or, you know, issue resolving they're going through at the office and realize, whoa, maybe this isn't the right environment for me, period?
Well, I think, you know, environment definitely plays a part. You know, you said a lot there in that question, and that this book has already opened up some doors in the life coaching area for our work to expand and to grow, clearly. Will people buy the book? You know, I hope they do, because I think one of the things that's most difficult in the workplace today is around the individuals, as Maren was referring to a few minutes ago, the individual's relationship to work and to the business and so forth. There's this yearning on behalf of workplace cultures that leaders will somehow inspire and build the morale of their people and engender commitment from them and all that stuff, as if the people who work there are an empty vessel waiting to be, you know, filled up by some leadership wisdom. And what this book speaks directly to is that your morale, your commitment, those kinds of things are your own responsibility.
In fact, they have to come from the inside out first, don't they?
That's right, exactly. And so the notion is to say that if I can begin to take that seriously, then there is this connection of practices relative to the body of work called yoga that keep you practicing, which means making intentions and trying to act on those intentions in a conscious, mindful sort of a way. And I think that is sorely needed, if you will, in today's marketplace and in business today.
You know, Maren, and of course you personify this because you've been such a longtime practitioner and also sought then certification to give to others, is that, you know, yoga has really exploded in popularity across the United States over the last few years. So do you think this trend bodes well then if we can indeed, you know, give some momentum and even start a movement with a book like yours, that it could really impact the workplace in a significant way?
Well, clearly that is our hope. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's encouraging, as mentioned before, there's nearly 20 million practitioners in the United States and, of course, probably millions worldwide. And as people become more aware of what the entire practice of yoga has to offer, both in terms of clarity about your intentions, who you want to be in the world, discipline, making your contribution and leaving a legacy. What I love about yoga, honestly, is it provides a guide for this development of personal potential and transformation. And it doesn't require you to become perfect overnight or to become this Dalai Lama or Buddha, but it reminds us that it's a practice. And if you're in a physical practice, you might fall out of a pose, and the only thing to do is get up and try it again. It's a practice. Yep. I would absolutely be beside myself and thrilled if people would sort of embrace this concept, especially since they're already sort of familiar with the practice of yoga.
That's right. We're speaking with Jamie and Maren Shokir, and their new book is Yoga Wisdom at Work, Finding Sanity Off the Mat and on the Job. Jamie, both you and Maren, whether it be from your consulting work or Jamie's early journalistic days and traveling abroad, and certainly you folks have global clients and the like, we mentioned here the growth of yoga domestically, and then also Maren just said about millions of people worldwide that have long time, generations, centuries been practicing yoga. Do you think they get it more over in the East? And would there be a link to say that this idea of sanity in the workplace is already evident in other cultures? We just haven't recognized the power of the opportunity to bring it here to the States?
Wow, that's a good question. And I honestly don't know the answer to that. I think I'm suspicious that because yoga is so old as a practice, it goes back 6,000 years, and it's only been actually codified and written down about 2,500 years, that it's probably more prevalent among a certain strain of the population around the world, just like it here is here in the United States. I mean, if you figure we have 22 million people in the United States who have an on-the-mat yoga practice, and that's the rough number, if 1%, 10% of that number would begin to embrace these limbs in their work days,
taking the work
places in their communities, the manifest difference would be incredible, I believe. And so around the world, I can't really speak to the yoga practice around the world. Marin has something, though.
Well, I would like to say, I mean, it's an interesting question that you ask, and we don't have the answer, but I do remember reading once many years ago about how if you are raised and grow up in a Western culture, that you could never really fully grasp the Eastern mind or the Eastern culture. And I remember sort of being offended by that at the time. It's like, well, you know, we can be open, we can learn things. But having done this deep dive into this work, I kind of have a sense of what that means. You know, it's still a beautiful, wonderful practice, but I think that it's more enculturated in places like India, or, you know, where the practice has been around for thousands of years. And I think, you know, in the Western culture, we will probably have some catching up to do.
Yes, I would say, and in fact, not only catching up, but we have a lot of things to unlearn to be able to adopt it. I guess it'll be interesting to watch your book as the sales accelerate, which I know you're having the joy of watching right now since it was just released. But it'd be interesting on the next international trip you take, whether it be to the Middle East or to Asia or whatever, and hand this book and see what the reaction would be, you know. And someone might say, well, yeah, I mean, that's in our tenets of how we've been raised and how I bring it into the workforce. It'd be interesting to see. Well, Jamie Withmy, having said that, tell us, the book did just launch, of course, and you two have had, of course, the whole rodeo around promoting your first book. How's this one going so far, and are you seeing anything different come together vis-a-vis Authentic Conversations so far?
Well, this book's clearly a more popular book, if you will, and I don't mean that in the sense that people are rushing to buy it. I just mean it has more popular appeal, I guess. And given that, it splashed more on launch day and so forth than Authentic Conversations did. I mean, Authentic Conversations is still selling pretty well, but this one had a bigger first day, first week splash because of the popular appeal. It's been translated into Spanish. The foreign rights have been sold in Asia.
Already, great.
So it's starting to, you know, be sold around the world. Plus, the real exciting thing, I think, is that we have an enhanced ebook that just came out yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And it is available on the Book Nook and iBooks and iTunes and that kind of stuff. It has 30 minutes of audio and video embedded in it, where we actually have a couple guided meditations. We have a little deeper dive around a couple of the principles. There is some video demonstration and coaching around how to do some pranayama techniques. So it's enhanced with this video audio content that that people can get, which I'm really anxious to see how that goes. This is our first endeavor into that, and our publisher doesn't do that very often, but they thought this might be a good title to do it with.
Absolutely.
So,
there's nothing
really
like a multi-sensory experience in this day and age. It's got the entertainment factor, doesn't it?
Love that, right?
Well, again, thank you so much. Our guests today have been Jamie and Marin Shokir. You can learn more about their book, Yoga Wisdom at Work, Finding Sanity Off the Mat and on the Job, obviously at yogawisdomatwork.com. Also, their work at authenticconversations.com. And then last but not least, from a consulting coaching standpoint, henning-shokir.com. The two of you are going to be, I'm going to look with great joy and watch this movement that I think that you're promulgating here come to fore. And boy, I got to get back to my yoga practice. That's all there is. So thank you so much for joining us today.
It's always a pleasure to chat with you, Zara. Thank you.
Very good.
Absolutely. Thanks.
Yeah, namaste, as we say, correct?
Namaste.
Namaste. You got it. Thank you so much. Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580.